question. To start off, just as a measure of disclosure, I work for QIAGEN, the corporation that makes HPV testing. We have provided funding to the Say Something Project in the form of a non-restricted educational grant. Christine Spade has accepted speaker's fees from us. And I would also like to recognize Colleen Bader, who's part of our development team, who's also in the room. So in terms of background, you all have probably heard a lot about cervical cancer in the news recently. There's been an HPV vaccine that HPV, the cause of cervical cancer, there's now a vaccine that can prevent this cancer in large part in young girls. And of course, most women are aware that every year they go to their doctors to get their Pap test or other cervical cancer screening tests for prevention. But still, more can be done. Not all women are doing everything they need to do. Each year, roughly 10,000 women are still diagnosed with cervical cancer, and close to 4,000 die. And cervical cancer is a preventable disease. No woman has to suffer from it. So because of this, it provides a unique opportunity for education. And so why was the Say Something program created? Well, there's a lot out there for direct education from a clinician to a patient. And there's a lot out there for clinician education. If you go to the ACOG annual conference, there's all sorts of stuff directed at OBGYNs and primary care physicians and nurse practitioners. But there wasn't a lot out there that was useful for peer educators or people involved in community groups to educate each other about health promotion activities. So the research shows that there's a lack of understanding about the relationship between HPV and cervical cancer and what women can do in terms of screening and vaccination. So let me now, it's my great pleasure to introduce Christine Bays, who is a cervical cancer survivor, and she's going to tell you a little bit about why and how Say Something was created.
Yeah, as a survivor, I started speaking out about preventing cervical cancer because I just didn't want it to go to anybody else, because I realized it was, in fact, preventable cancer. So as I started speaking out about it and sharing my story with people, I realized that people really connect with people. You know, it's like, I represent your sister, your college roommate, your girlfriend, your daughter, you know. And so Tamika Felder is another survivor who is doing the same thing, another young woman who was diagnosed, and she started an organization called Tamika and Friends. And my organization is called the Yellow Umbrella Organization. And we were like, okay, this is really cool, and we're out there doing our thing, but how can we do it together? Because we realized that women wanted to talk to us, you know, like just like talk to one another. So we decided to create this toolkit. And when we came up with a name, we're like, all right, what do we want to do? And we're, Tamika and I are both out there talking. I'm a musician, and I've always been a musician, and so I turn to music a lot for my inspiration. And one of my songs that I wrote one time at one of these events where I was speaking for some legislators, I was on a plane coming back, and I was like, you know, wow, you know, what if one day you're walking on air, then you go to step and there's nothing there, what would you do if you were me, what would you feel if you could be me, say something. And I just started writing the song, Say Something to Me. And it was just like all about like, okay, I had 3 minutes to say something, you know, for this testimony. And I was like, what do I have to say? And so when we came up with this toolkit, that's where it came from. You know, we're like, all right, we have this opportunity to use our voice and, you know, be heard in a way, and what is the message? And so we figured the best way to do it was to insert ourselves into this, because we can't be everywhere, but we could have a video of ourselves so that people could see our faces and hear our stories and be like, oh, those are cool girls. And, you know, I do all original music, and all of my music is kind of connected to my story and this kind of, I don't know, mission that I feel like I'm on. And, of course, then PowerPoint presentations so people can click away and look at stuff. And we've got posters to publicize the events and T-shirts and media guides, tips for how to talk to the media about this issue, and web resources as well. We've got the website is interactive in that all of the materials, you can actually order the kits, and you can have it, and that's what a lot of people are doing, like sorority sisters or other women's groups are ordering the kits, and they've got it in hand, and then they do the presentation. But you can also order the materials right down off the web. You can just download them. And like I said, it's really both of our stories, Tamika and I, as young women, saying, okay, this is a preventable cancer. There are things you can do about it. We know the cause, HPV. We've got preventative tools like the vaccines. And we've got screening, the Pap test, and the HPV test for women over 30. And the video really just kind of encourages people to take a look at the personal side of everything, as well as take the clinical data that is behind it. So it's like Everybody can look at statistics and go, oh, this really matters. But when you hear the personal story, I think that's what hooks people in. And so we've got it in three different formats, depending on the length of presentation that you want. So you can get the full story in like 24 minutes or 11 or 3 minutes. And yeah, and so now we've been getting some results, and we've had quite a few toolkits that have gone out so far, which is really cool.
Absolutely. So the toolkit was based on this concept of providing information in multiple formats so it would meet the needs of individual groups. And each group can contact Say Something and order a toolkit, as you saw the picture, over the web or by phone, and they're free. So it's a grant-based program, so community groups can bring in these materials for free. And to date, there's been 750, a little over that now, toolkits disseminated. We estimate about 6,500 women have participated in these programs. And as Christine was saying, these range from sorority sisters to church-based programs to parent-teacher things. They've written in and explained their experience with the programs, and we've heard a huge variation among the groups, which is nice because we know that it's reaching different types of women. So again, when we look at the need out there in the marketplace, what type of educational materials are needed, we know that there are certain populations who are most at risk for cervical cancer, and it's very similar to many other cancers and other diseases, but minority populations, women in low socioeconomic status, are the most at risk. So we wanted to create tools that would reach these special populations so we could hit the disease where it lives. Absolutely. And so, I mean, you can see from Christine, she's a wonderful, warm person. Everyone loves to hear Christine talk, but we needed a way to get that warmth, that woman-to-woman connection out there. And so we tried to use technology to do that. And the other key partner in all of this was Women's Health Advocacy Group. So many women's organizations have taken on cervical cancer prevention as a key issue because it does offer such promise. It's not like some of our other cancers where we don't know what to do. We know exactly what to do for cervical cancer. It's just getting the word out and engaging women to actively take part in the protection of their own health. So we've done evaluations, and we're still getting some of that data in, but so far, the preliminary data looks excellent. The reactions to the materials have been extremely positive. We've seen them used in different settings in different ways, which is good. The use metrics were very positive. People found them easy to use. We would like to produce the materials in Spanish and other languages, but that's going to be a next stage. And the video, surprisingly, has been used all over the place at women's conferences and other settings. So, for example, several of the groups that Say Something is partnered with, like the Coalition of Labor Union Women or the National Council for Women's Organizations, have used the video independent of the toolkit as just an adjunct to some of the educational programs that they've been running. So it's had quite good legs. And so in conclusion, we believe that the toolkit offers an example of how to integrate multimedia tools, print, video, web, music, into a cohesive program that people can pick and choose what they want to fit their needs, their setting, their context. And it empowers the community health educator to be that expert, because within the toolkit there's materials for her to learn about the issue so that she can go and educate her peers with this great backdrop of data and information. And we hope that it demonstrates the impact that a survivor can have, and that we don't want to silence this unique and powerful and wonderful voice as we all engage in prevention activities. And it is that survivor voice integrated with the clinician community that I think made it a useful tool. Christine mentioned the video. Well, within that video, there's an OBGYN, there's a nurse practitioner talking about prevention. So it is a clinically validated, evidence-based program that was reviewed, et cetera. So we hope that this tool can work not only in the community setting, but with other decision makers like legislators, industry, and schools to get the word out. In terms of next step, further evaluation is needed, and we certainly are looking at knowledge, attitude, and behavior scores among users, both doing pre- and post-testing. We'd love to, as I mentioned, do some different languages. Say Something would like to partner with other organizations to increase the reach of the program. But like so many of our public health